Let's give it up for our kids one more time. My iPad. Woo! Woo! All right. Look at your neighbor and say, happy dance. Woo! Oh, my goodness. We're getting ready for the word of God. Amen. Okay. Woo! Amen. How many know it's good to be in a church that can dance? Amen. Woo! Amen. That's not regular water, that's Propel water. I had to get some energy. Amen. We're going to continue in our series, and I'm going to let you go home and eat and pig out on pig feed. And how many eat pig feed in here? Father, in the name of Jesus, bless them all. How many eat chitlins up in here? How many eat chitlins? I cast that out in the name of Jesus. How many love cornbread? Cornbread up in here. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we just got to get back and just enjoy our fellowship, our families, and everything that goes along with that. And today is no different. We are going to continue in our series about God. Many of you were not here when we talked about Kingdom Matters number 4. My message on Saturday and my message on Sunday were two different types of messages. And we have some people that are still coming in. So if we need seats, leaders, if you would, we got some chairs down here. Come on in. Ushers, I really need your help. Let's bring them down to these seats over here. No reason for them to stand in the back. Come on, ushers. Let's move very quickly. Amen. Amen. We got some chairs down here in the front. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Welcome to Frontier. Turn to somebody and just say, welcome to Frontier Church. Amen. Look at the other side and say, it ain't your normal church. Amen. But today I want to really walk you into understanding who God is. Yes, let's go ahead and move some seats here. We got some guys on the side if we need to. We can have some of our ladies in seats over here. Amen. Amen. Let's get some seats. Welcome. Welcome. So glad you're here. Amen. As leaders, we always make room for one more. Amen. Good to have you. Good to have you. Amen. We can put some more seats down here on the stage, even if you have to. That'll be just fine. Amen. All right. So we are in the series called Kingdom Matters. And when we talk about Kingdom Matters, we are walking through 16 things that you need to know about God, heaven, and everything else to answer those hard questions that you might have had years ago and said, well, I don't understand. Who do I pray to? Is it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost? Is there a difference? Are they the same? What makes them different? Can you tell the difference? What is heaven? Is heaven made up of angels? What kind of gender are the angels? What gender is God? What's the difference? I mean, bring my sound up, Dave. You took it down a little bit, bringing me back in. What is God like? What is he like? What does he look like? Has anybody seen God? Has anybody ever seen him? How many in here said they've seen God before? How many have ever seen God? Amen. How many would like to see God in here? Okay, how many know that if you see God, you die? Did you know that? How many still want to see God? And put your hands down. You don't want to see him right now. You know you got food cooking at home. You don't want to see him right now. Anyway, but there are things in the scripture we want to cover so that you understand who God is. Because we're going to talk about God and then the personage of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We'll talk about all of the things that are in heaven, the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim. We want to talk about guardian angels. Are there such thing as a guardian angel? Do you have angels? What do angels look like? How many believe angels are both male and female? Let me see your hands in the air. Both male and female. How many believe angels are just female? How many don't know? How many aren't going to answer me no matter what I ask you? Amen. Hey, man, we got some honest ones up there. Okay, we need to know these. Why? Because the Bible says the church grew when they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, too often we come to church to hear a good sermon, but we never get good doctrine. We're never taught who we are in God. In fact, the Bible says that we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. When you move from the U.S. to another country, there are different rules in every country. In order for you to prosper in that country, you must know kingdom laws. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can't do certain things in other countries that you can do in this country. So what we want to do is learn, what does it mean to walk in the kingdom country of God? What authority do we have in that country? And so today, we want to cover that right now. So first of all, what we want to discover first of all is this. What is God? What is God? We're going to run over this again and reiterate. What is God? Write this down if you have a pen or a paper, because we're going to go through this very quickly. What is God? What is God? We're going to go to John chapter 4, verse 23. John 4, verse 23. John 4, 23, in the King James Version. I don't have it yet. Is it on the board? No. John chapter 4, tech team, verse 23. Still don't have it. I don't have it. Amen. All right, I don't want to have to turn around. All right, y'all read for me. Go. Hold on. All right, hold on. The true worshipers of the Father shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. So what is God? He's a what?
Spirit.
All right, so what does a spirit look like? Is it a cloud that just like, woo? Is it just light? What does the Spirit of God look like? Can you know what he looks like? Can you discern what the Spirit of God is? What is he? What does he look like? Well, we're going to discover that out. So first off, before we go into that, I want to know where, if we know God's a spirit, the Bible says that the spirit made everything physical. In Genesis, he says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He says he created the heaven and the earth, and they were created. So God made everything physical by the spiritual, which is so important for you in this room today. Because if you appropriate God's spiritual power, it can override every physical issue that you have. You must understand God is spirit and he is not bound by physical things. You can't lock him in jail. You can't lock him out of the school. Oh, God Almighty. Listen to me. They may have taken school out of the prayer, but... they may have taken the... What? Prayer out of the school, but they can't take God out of the school unless you stop going to school. Hello, somebody. You have God in you. When you go to school, you still got the same power, the same authority, the same words that could change your teachers, your fellow students, your principals, your guardians, everybody in the place, because God is in you. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. They don't need to ask you to pray. You are walking prayer. Hello, somebody. Watch this. I want you to turn. Where is God's heaven? Where is God's home? I want you to go to Isaiah 66 and 1. Isaiah 66 and 1. Very quickly, please. They're not, my verse needs to be coming on my screen. Isaiah 66 and 1. When you have it ready, Let's read together. Thus saith the Lord. Heaven is my, say it again. So God's residence is not here on earth. That's why we say, our Father, who art in, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, thy will be on as it is. In other words, heaven is his throne and everything he wills comes to pass. Our desire is to bring the will of the Father to this earth. That's why he says, heaven is my throne. Look what it says this. Thus says the Lord, the heavens is my throne and earth is my what? Footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? Where is the place of rest? He said, listen, there's not anything you can make with your hands that is good enough for me to rest in. So when you get in your mind, well, listen, if I can get by with God by good works, if I'm kind, and if I give a little money to the church or if I help a poor person, I can get in with God. God owns everything anyway. That's not going to make it. What makes it is when he wants those to worship him both in spirit and in truth. That means he wants you to accept him as your Lord and then to walk in that lordship as his God, as he is God. That's what he's looking for. Now, let's go back and ask the hard question, who is God? Because many of us have had rough upbringings. Many of you have gone through things in your life with your mama, your father, your sisters, and your brothers. Some of you really shouldn't even be here today because death should have took you out. And some of you have suffered and wondered all your life, God, why was it so hard for me? But I need you to understand something. Many times we then say, God, why did you let this happen to me? Anybody ever heard that before? Right? How come God, this evil is in the world? Why did you, why did you, personal pronoun, you, God, why did you let it happen? I need you to understand something about God. Sometimes we blame God and it wasn't him in the first place. Let me show you something. Let me show you the character of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And this is what it says. Beloved, and he's speaking to us, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. If we have a problem loving other people, either because of where they come from, what they look like, the economic status, then we have a problem loving God no matter what we say. If we say that we are believers and Christians, and yet our words are full of hate and despair and discouraging, and we put other people down, then we need to question whether that person knows God or not. We have to ask the question, do we love God? I need that scripture back on the screen. And here's what it says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But look at verse 8. I want you to read it out loud. Go. What is God?
Love.
What is God?
Love.
God doesn't have love. God
is.
Think about that. He doesn't have it in him to hurt you, just to hurt you. He's not like earthly fathers or earthly mothers who may have struggled or been hurt in their life, and they hurt because they hurt, because hurt people hurt people. Hello, somebody. Broken people break people. That's what happens. But when you have an unbroken God, he heals the brokenhearted. Hello, somebody. God is love. I need you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that on this day, God is here to love you, to tell you that you are special to him, that what you went through was not caused by his desire to see you suffer, but God's desire is to bring you to church today to set the record straight that I am your God and I love you. I'm not going to let the gossipers in the world, the ones who cause the church hypocrites, to determine my story. I have a story, and I am love. Who do you think paints the flowers the colors that they are? Who do you think brings the sunshine after the rain? Who do you think causes the colors of the rainbow to reflect in the sky? Who do you think brings the warmth from the log in the middle of the winter? Who do you think brings the light to the eye in the morning hours when you awake? It is I, the Lord God Almighty. I bring joy to the world. I am love. And many times, because of the hurt that we've been through, we don't know how to see God, and therefore we don't ask him anything. We try to survive in our own power. You try to make it by what you think you have to do to get by. Listen to me. You don't have to live together in order to be together. Hello, somebody. That was a lie of the enemy. Well, if we get to know each other, then we'll know if we're ready to get married. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. Let me tell you something. If you trust God and you let him lead you, you will find the man or the woman right for you. They won't let you live like that. A good man and a good woman would want God to be the first in your life, not them. Oh, y'all better hear me. You better hear me. My wife was in pharmacy school, really, really stringent school. And she had to study all the time. And she was like, oh, I feel so bad because we never have time. I said, listen, woman, I believe God has to come first in your life. And next is your school. I'm third. I'm not going to put any pressure on your life to take more of your time. Find what God has for you. I'm not going anywhere. We dated, watch this, 7 years. Chase for 7 years. And then God spoke through his prophets and said, I have commanded these two to be together. How many know God still speaks today? The reason why I didn't try to monopolize her life is because I loved her too much to distract her. The same way God would have some of you to be and learn that love is not selfish. Love is selfless. Agape is unconditional love. It's not based on whether you can give me something, but it gives because it is love. Watch this. What does God delight in, ladies and gentlemen? Write this down. What does he delight in? I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord. Watching it, watch this. This is an incredible verse. This is one of those verses that's like a memory verse. You should know this. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. In other words, you may be very, very educated. You may have multiple degrees. But if you're very educated and don't know who the God of the universe is, woe to the state of that man. Education was made by God. Genius comes from God. Science comes from God. Every mathematical equation ever written came from the mind of God. But if you don't know the maker, woe to the man who calls himself educated. He says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man in his might. Glory in his might. In other words, I'm a man of influence. I know people. I can get things done. Let me tell you something. You may have a yacht and a boat and a plane. You may have everything you need, but the one thing you lack is God. You need him most of all. There was a story in the Bible of the rich young ruler who said to the Lord, "Hey, all my life I was a good guy. I followed all the commandments. I did good to my neighbor. I loved my neighbor. I did all these things." And he listed six items, all of them having to deal with other people. He says, "I've done it from my youth." And Jesus' response was, Jesus loved the man. His reaction to the man's statement was, "Man, I love this guy." He says, "Okay, if you're serious, there's one thing you lack." He says, "Sell everything you've got and follow me." Look at your neighbor and say, "Sell it all." Turn the other side and say, "Give it to me." Because I'm going to need it if I sell it. I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You're in a position where you have finally made it financially secure. You got house, home, car. You got insurance. You got a 401k. Everything's working well. You're in a nice neighborhood. Everything's going well for you. And then you messed up by asking God, "What else you want from me?" He went to the Lord and pressed his luck. "What else do I need to get to heaven?" And he says, "One thing you lack. Sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and follow me." Well, the Bible says the man went away sad because he had much riches. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a point to it all. Six things that he named that he was doing was for other people. But the four he didn't name, all 10 were in the Ten Commandments. He kept six of them. They all pertain to humanity. But the four he didn't keep were the ones that pertain to God. So his God was his finances. His God was his money. And when we realize it's hard to let go of money, or we feel money is the end all be all, we have an idol in the midst. And the man walked away sad. And here's what Jesus said. "Man, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than a camel through the eye of a needle." And that's a very important thing to understand. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's not what matters. You can be a rich man, but you must know God. Because money isn't the money isn't the root of all evil. Money is just a means to an end. The love of money is the root of all evil. God wants to make some of you very wealthy, but not without him. You understand? There's a misnomer that thinks, well, Jesus was just poor. How many ever heard that? Jesus was a poor old man. Well, hold on now. If he was that poor, why did he need an accountant named Judas? Why did he have a money bag walking around? Why was he have all the wealthy women of the elite following him and giving into his ministry? Jesus wasn't broke, but Jesus knew what was important. And he didn't waste his money on things that pass away. I want you to think, God says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. The man of influence. And it says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But look at what God wants. Verse 24. Let's all read it together. Go. "Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Stop right there. He says, you want to know what I want you to boast about? How much you know me. When was the last time we bragged about something we learned about God? Come on now. When you're dating somebody, you talk about them all the time. When you find somebody you like, man, they just good looking. They just got it together. Did I tell you they good looking and they got it together? We brag on what we like. If we got a brand new car, yeah, it's a V6, a V8. It's got a Hemi motor. Yeah. Vroom, vroom. We brag on what we really like. Man, I caught a fish. It was this big. When you love something, you talk about it. I don't want you to tell me what you love. I want you to examine what you talk about. Because this isn't about condemnation. This is about exhorting you that if you can figure out that your language about him is minimized in your life, then that might mean your relationship in him is also minimized in your life. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Today, we were celebrating the Lord is walking among all nations. So I wear this from an African nation to celebrate what we're doing. Because I believe in what we're talking. We are a church of many nations. We have many cultures that are represented in our church. And I believe in our people. But I believe foremost that God loves every one of you. And he brought you here to hear this message that he's love. He's a spirit that's not bound by anything. And that he wants you to know this truth. Watch this. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Not just be able to quote a verse, but understand what I mean by it. Look at this. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and what? In where? For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I want you to know I'm loving kind. I have loving kindness. In Romans chapter 2, it says, he draws us by his loving kindness. How many in this room may have been on the verge of a breakdown mentally, physically, or financially, and in the midst of it, God delivers you out of it? How many have seen that happen? Oh, come on. If it's you, put your hand in the air like and wave it like you just don't care. Don't be ashamed. Look around. Look around of how many people God has shown loving kindness towards. It is he who loves you. He wants you to understand. He is not angry with you. He's been waiting on you so that he can shower this love that he has in himself upon you. He wants to make you the best you that you can be. Loving kind that you understand he is a God who exercises. In other words, he doesn't just say, I need to exercise. He exercises loving kindness. Not only that, but judgment. Well, God, what do you mean you exercise judgment? Some are bound by things in this earth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and darkness, rulers of the darkness of this world. And we don't know what we struggle with. Some of us have medical addictions, drug addictions, people addictions. Hello, somebody. And we don't know how to break it. God said that his judging power can snap the binds or the fetters that the enemy has on your life. He is ready to break the habit of smoking, break the habit of cocaine, break the habit of prostitution, break the habit of pornography, break it, break it, break it. So that you can walk in freedom. Love does not like its children to be bound. Love wants its children to be free. Wow. And he says, and righteousness, meaning We are asking God, how am I supposed to do this? No one taught me how to be married. No one taught me how to be single. Nobody taught me how to raise kids by myself. Nobody taught me how to raise kids with a knucklehead. Nobody told me the knucklehead would have a knucklehead trying to raise my kids. We struggle. And what is the Lord saying? I have laid out a plan of righteousness, right living, that if you learn of me, come and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm God your Father, and I'm here to show you how to live rightly. I can show you. Come to me, and I will show you how to live the right way. Turn off the Lifetime channel. Turn off the WB. Whoa, boy, is what I call it. Certain channels teach us the wrong things. But if we channel in back on God, what does his word say? We begin to understand. He says, for in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. God wants you to please him. And the way to please him is to get to know him. Now, why should you get to know God? Why? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, you were made from him. In the beginning, God breathed life into Adam. And Adam became a living soul. Everybody just go, don't spit on a person. Just do it again, but... Okay, you'll never get that breath back, ever. That breath, it's gone. There was never a breath like it, and there will never be another one just like the one you just let out. God into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. So unique was Adam, there was not another man like him. I want you to understand, each of you are a breath of God. So unique, there ain't another person like you in all of history. Y'all didn't hear me. You want to know who you are, but you don't understand you are the most unique creation that God has ever made, and you're alive to prove it. You are such a unique breath of God that if you don't do what you're supposed to do in the earth, there's not another breath coming along to do what you got to do. You are it. If you don't do what you're called to do, we are the lesser for it. You are an aspect of God that has never been seen before. You are that unique in this earth. So why must we know him? Because the more we get to know God, the more we become like him, and the less we become like ourselves, that all the bad things we picked up, we become that aspect of God that we were meant to be. Husbands and wives, let me say to you, you're not supposed to be identical. Husbands, wives, you're not supposed, the husband ain't supposed to always be the strong one. Some of y'all women are strong enough for five men. So if he's a little laid back, that's the blessing of the Lord on your life. Because if both of y'all were strong, y'all kill each other. God made his aspect for you because you are a perfect match. Not because you were the same, but because you were opposite and you fit well together. And when you got married, you were so excited that y'all were so different. Oh, he just keeps talking. He's just so laid back and chill. Oh, it's just cute. It's awesome. And then you get married and you're like, how come you're not stronger? How come that doesn't make you mad? How come? Wait a minute. The reason you married him is the reason now you fuss at him. And men, you listen, you've got to accept that when God made Eve, he took out of Adam a rib and there was a space missing. That meant that when they got back together and he made Eve, when they got back together, she filled what he was missing. That's why you always see opposites attract. And men, you got to understand, women aren't to always agree simply because you're the man. Now the women clap. They were quiet a minute ago, weren't they? What it means is that a man of God, and this is for the husband and the wife. Listen, you want to know what a true man of the house is? It is not the man who makes the most money. Ooh. How many heard, well, you're supposed to be a provider of the home, and if you ain't providing, be the main provider for the home, you ain't a man. Where was that in the Bible? Someone showed me that. No, you know what the head of the house means? It's a spiritual position. It's a position where the man is first to seek God, where man is the first to pray. Man can call things in and stop things over your life. You can make all the money in the world, but if a man know how to pray, he can pray all the money and jobs into your life. You need a praying man, a man who knows how to talk to God. See, Lot was a strong woman. Lot had a strong wife. But what Lot's wife needed was a praying man. Because she said, I don't want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. I got good friends over here. And Lot was like, if we don't dip, we all gonna look like salty people. And she didn't leave. But just at the same moment on a hill talking to God was Abraham saying, Lord, if there are 30 righteous in the land, would you save it? Men in the house, would you raise your hand just for a moment? All the men in the house. You got to have such a talk with God that you can stop disaster over your family and your friends. You. That's what he means by being the spiritual head of your home. Not winning every argument, but winning every argument with God. Come on now. When God hears you talk, God says, boy, you so bad. Yeah, whatever you want, I'll stop it. That's what a good woman needs. Now watch this. As we get, how much time? We're about to close, y'all. About to take it home. I need to settle some things. The reason you must become the full aspect of God is because there ain't nobody like you. The Bible says that the cherubims fly around his throne crying, holy, 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 holy. And there was a man by the name of Jesse Duplantis who had a heavenly vision. And he talked about, he looked up at these seraphims and saw them flying around the throne of God crying, holy, holy, holy. And he said to the angel next to him, why do they cry, holy, holy, holy? And the angel said to him, because every time they go around God, they see an aspect of God they've never seen before. So they cry out, holy. Now, I want you to look around for a minute. Because everybody you look at is an aspect of God that you ain't never seen before. Somebody ought to cry, holy, holy, holy. Look at your neighbor and say, you a bad joker. You a bad joker. Yeah, you got something I need. So watch this. I can't talk about you. I can't judge you. I can't put you down because you're not mine. You belong to the Lord. And you're so unique. You might be my salvation in this earth. You might be able to bring me out because you're so different that God put you in my life that you might be a blessing to me. That's why at Frontier Church, we have a no gossip policy. Why? Because we believe everybody's important to God, and we don't have the time to be talking about all the other aspects of God. We can't put God's aspects down, for they're all good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, this is very important as we get ready to close and move on to our next session. Now, let me ask you a question. Is God a male or female or both? Or how many think he's a male? Raise your hand. How many think he's a female? Raise your hand. How many think he's both? How many don't know? All right, let's find out. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 46. John chapter 6, verse 46. Hurry. John chapter 6, verse 46. Watch this. It says these words. Not that any man hath what?
Seen the Father.
Has seen who?
The Father.
You mean the mother?
The Father.
You mean the auntie? You mean grandmama?
The Father.
You mean meemaw?
The Father.
No man hath seen the Father save that which is God. He hath seen the Father. Watch this. I love this. Go to verse. I want you to look at this verse here. Go to Exodus 33 and 20. Exodus 33 and 20. Exodus 33 and 20. It's taking forever. Thank you. Here we go. And he said that, this is Jesus speaking. This is God speaking. And he said, God, thou canst not see my
face,
for there shall no man
see me
and
live.
How many said they want to see God? Listen, no man has ever seen God's face. There's a reason. God, no man sees him until the end. But we have seen the face of Jesus, his son, who is the expressed image of God. So then I'll close with this thought. What will God show us? Go to Exodus 33 and 18. 33 and 18. He said, I beseech thee, this is Moses talking. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Look at 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and be gracious to him. I will be gracious and will show mercy on him whom I will show mercy. He says, I'm going to walk past you, and you can see my glory. Now, that's the one thing God will show us, his glory. Now, let's see what it looks like. Go to 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock. I'm here to tell you that rock, in order to see God, is Christ. In order to see God clearly, you must stand upon the word of God. Now watch this. 22. And it shall come to pass, when my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my
hand.
His what?
Hand.
What does God have?
Hand.
Everybody put your hands in the air. Waving like you just don't care. He got 10 fingers and 10 toes. God got fingers and hands. So he's not some ethereal ghost with light just gleaming everywhere. He looks like us. Watch this. And he says, I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Next verse. Watch this. And I will take away my hand and you shall see my what? But my what? So what does God have? He has a backside and a
face.
He looks like us. The Bible says in the beginning, let us make man in our and in our likeness. Now, I'll close with this thought. The Bible says that as we get to know him, we are conformed to his image. But we are born in his likeness. You want to see what God looks like? Look around. Look around. He looks like us. He didn't choose us to look like monkeys. Because the Bible didn't say I was going to sit on the throne on my tail. Come on now. He didn't say I was going to do that. He sat on his throne. And he made us in his likeness to look like him. But in order to be like him, we must be conformed into his image. Image means behavior. That we look like him, talk like him, act like him. Church, God is a father. We say the prayer, our Father which art in heaven. We know he's a father. And God wants you to look like your daddy. So starting this week, Jesus has risen from the dead. He was seen by over 500 people bodily, ascended into heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father. And we are to be conformed into his image. This week, I want you to do something very unique to look like God. I want you to love somebody who you found it hard to love before. I want you to forgive somebody that you found it hard to forgive before. For God reigns upon the just and the unjust. Would you stand to your feet? Maybe you were here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. And today is a good day to give your life to the Lord. What do I mean by that? When Jesus died on the cross, he did something very important. He was willing to take every man's sins away if you would just confess him as your Lord. That means making him head of your house, your heart, your home. He says, if you confess me with your mouth and believe that God raised me from the dead for you, you shall be saved. God wants to save some of you in this room today. You may have come with your mom, your sister, your brother. It may be your first time ever coming. But don't waste the moment. God is reaching out to some of you in this room to come to him for the very first time and to be born again. When you're born again, he changes you from the inside and conforms you into his image. He puts his spirit inside of you and he begins to break the chains in your life so you can look more and more like him. If you want change broken in your life, habits you haven't been able to stop on your own, it starts with meeting the God who made you. So right now, if that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to count to three. And I want you to lift your hands and say, I want to be saved. It's going to be between you and God. Get ready. One, two, three. Lift your hands. I see one down here. I see another one back there. I see one right here. I see another one back there. I see one right here. I see another one over there. I see one up there. I see three over there. Four. Five. I see over 10 people want to give their life to Christ. Over 10 people. Today's your day. Put your hands down for just a second. If today you're looking for a church home, we are a multicultural church, meaning, hey, it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside, it matters who we have on the inside. And we are frontier, meaning we are not done. We are not a monument, we're a movement, and we want to grow to reach as many people as we can, and we believe in the power of God. And if you want to be a part of this movement of reaching people with love and finding out what your purpose is, I want you to join Frontier Church. I'm going to count to three, and if you want to join Frontier Church, I want you to lift your hands. Get ready. One, two, three. Lift your hands. I see one, two, three, four. Amen. Is there another? Five. Is there another? Six. Back there. Okay. Put your hands down. Here's what I want you to do. If you raise your hand, either to give your life to Jesus or to join the church, I want you to do something very bold. I want you to come out of your seats and come down and meet me right now at the altar. Come on. Come on. Come on down. 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 They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Come on down. Out of the balcony. Come on down. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Come on down. Wow. 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 Yes. 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 They're coming. Are they coming? They're still coming. I see one coming now. Come on, let's give it up. There's more coming. Hallelujah. There's room at the altar. Look at these children coming. Look at all the children. Wow. 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 Okay. Man, I'm honored. I'm honored. I'm honored. You hear me? I'm honored that you're here. I'm honored. Let me do this first. How many came to give their life to Jesus first? Lift your hands. Okay. I want you to repeat these words after me. But I want you to speak them to God. And when we're done, everything you've ever done wrong from the day you were born to this very moment will be gone. You'll be a new creature in Christ. It'll be like being born like a brand new baby. This is a day. Oh, we got two more that came down. Amen. We got two more that came down. Wow. Okay. So repeat these words after me and watch what God will do with your life. Repeat after me. God, forgive me of all my sins from the day I was born to this very moment. I'm sorry. I accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. And as of this moment, I am born again and a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. It's done. It's done. It's done. Done, done, done. Clean, 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 clean in the sight of God. Clean, born again in the sight of God. Now, how many want to be a part of Frontier Church? Raise your hand. Amen. Here, 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 here. Yes. Yes, you are. Here, 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 here. Amen. Here, 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 here. All right. And here. Stretch, church, stretch your hands towards them, please. I believe what we're about to pray will be so powerful over their lives. But your prayer before heaven this day will mark a moment in history over the lives of those who will be here. So pray with faith, knowing it's about to change these people's lives. Stretch your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, every man, woman, and child that is standing at this altar of every race, every kindred, and every kind, that you would bless with the blessing of Frontier upon their life. That as we get blessed supernaturally, so are they. As we grow supernaturally, so are they. As they serve in their position before you, God, you will bless their home, their peace, their minds, their finances, their heart, and their marriages, and their all the things they hope and dream for. Today, God, hear us from heaven and bless these people as children of Frontier of the greater body of Jesus. And we pronounce this blessing that cannot be removed, revoked, or shifted. For you are now blessed under the banner of this church. And we decree it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome, my man. Welcome. 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 Welcome, sister. Welcome. 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 Glad to have you. Welcome, my man. Welcome. Glad to have you. What's your name?
Kebram.
Kebram. Indeed an honor, man. Blessing, 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 blessing. Welcome, 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 daughter. Welcome, 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 my man. Welcome, welcome. This is a miracle. These people are miracles. They made it because God kept them. And now they're about to make a difference in God's kingdom. Listen, this is Tanya Hagerbrook. I would like for you guys to follow her for just a second. She's going to get some information. Make sure we get your information right. We want to plug you in, help you get started in your Christian walk, and be there for you. I am honored to be your pastor. I'm honored to serve you. Let's do this life together, okay? Okay? Tanya, would you walk with them? Would you go with her, please? Amen. Will we stay, all stand on our feet, and let's pray. Don't leave yet. I know you want to get out of the parking lot, but a prayer will bless you a whole lot better than a good parking spot. Amen. Would you walk this way? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Wow. Wow. Look at all those people. Wow. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Let us lift our hands before our Lord. Thank you, oh God, for allowing us to be a church that can dance. A church that's not afraid to praise you. A church with children that love you. Lord, we bless everyone under the sound of my voice, every guest that had the love in their heart to come. May the blessing of the Lord follow every person under the sound of my voice. And whether they traveled here, may they have traveling graces back home. And may they remember the word of the Lord that God loves them. And they are unique. And let that same love come out of them. I bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Easter, everybody. He's alive. God bless you. See you next Sunday.